Have you been looking for a Taekwondo podcast with qualified people who know what they're talking about, who help you keep up with everything going on in the Taekwondo world? Well, you found it. This is the Taekwondo Podcast. Taekwondo news, competitions and other events, training and sports science, keeping the fans, coaches and high-performance athletes up to date with the latest news and trends on Olympic Taekwondo. Let's do this. This is the Taekwondo Podcast. And now your hosts, Coach Cesar Valentim and Peter Nessler.
Hello and welcome to the Taekwondo Podcast. We're a podcast based out of Austria in English language for everyone out there who likes Taekwondo. In this episode, we talk with Mario Glasnovic, Olympic coach and renowned Taekwondo trainer. We'll analyze the European Championships and discuss the upcoming events. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Coach Cesar Valentin, and with me are coaches Peter Nessler and Mario Glasnovic. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Hello, Cesar. I'm fine. We have a special guest today.
Yes. Hi, Mario. How are you?
Hello, Cesar and Peter. Yeah, well, a little bit tired of my trip from Manchester yesterday. Came home really late, but it's okay. Have a good sleep.
Well, this is the first time we're having three people on the show, and we're doing it over video conference, so we can actually see each other. People know about me, they know about Peter, but about you, Mario, for everyone out there who doesn't know who you are, can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a coach, started in coaching in Sweden, and went back to Croatia because I'm originally from Croatia. So I went back to Croatia with Nikita and Leon end of 2017. We had some difficulties and we didn't get so long with the system, the new system there. We had before we had Markus Klofeller like a head coach, and we had a really good development, good results. So when that started to not be so good with the federation, so we thought better to go to Croatia, because there we have a lot of opportunities, sparring and good coaches also.
Well, I'm very happy to have you on the podcast. It has been something we've discussed for many months. You're an avid listener, but there was no better moment than right now, just right after the European Championships and before the first Grand Prix this season. So let's talk about Europeans first, since you just arrived from Manchester. What are your thoughts about this event?
I will tell like this. I've been three times on three championships in Manchester. I was first, I think it was 2000, when was 2012, I think.
The first inaugural Grand Prix.
No, European Championships. And then we had World Championships last time, 2019, and now this one. Grand Prix, we had a couple of them there, but Grand Prix is one format. The Europeans is a little bit different. And I have to say that the first European we had there, it was much better than this one. Sorry to say, but there was not so much development. It should have been like 10 years now, at least, I think. So it should have been some development, but the organization was not on the top. Time frames, yeah, I know that they wanted to have that they had BBC for the finals, but maybe they should start the competition a little bit later, give people a little bit time to rest in the morning, and we could I was calculating we could have started 12 o'clock the competition, and it would be perfect with the rests and so on.
Yes, the event was pretty fast in the morning. You had the preliminary all the way to quarterfinals in the morning, more or less. Some quarterfinals in the last days were already after the lunch break, and then the semifinals. You would be over around 3, go 4 hours to the hotel and come back to the finals. And I think that it does impact the players, but the audience as well. And many times people do not stay for the finals because of just coming back to the venue. What do you think about the fact that they had Taekwondo and Para Taekwondo together?
I like that. It was really, for me, who is not so into Para, it was really interesting. I hope they will continue with this, because now I know we had less people who was competing on the Europeans. I think these Europeans had least amount of people that I've seen for a long time. In the biggest category, 68 kilos men, it was 29 persons. That haven't happened for a long time.
Why do you think it happened? It's due to COVID, financial reasons? Do the teams decided to be more careful with the nominations?
No, but we have loss of two teams. Normally, you know, Russia and Belarus. That's first, because they're Russians will come in a lot of categories with two persons from the qualifications of President's Cup and so on. And the team from Belarus usually comes with a good team also with people. But then I think also I'm looking at Sweden. Sweden sent, I think, four persons. A lot of federations had problems with economy also. I know, for example, I think Hungary talked a little bit with Gary Salim, had to pay everything by himself. Sweden pay everything by themselves. A lot of countries nowadays have to pay everything by themselves.
Yeah, Portugal the same. Yeah. Austria didn't pay all the costs. And there was also some visa problems. Some of the Serbian athletes were not allowed to travel.
One, because, that was a little bit maybe Serbia's own fault, because they got the visa, but the boy got it a little bit late. So Gale Dragojevic had to fly out. And in his visa, it stood that because he was not filled 18 years. So in the visa stood that Gale was, Draga was forced to be with him. And then they didn't let him board the plane. That was the problem. But the rest of the team came, but very late. Tiana came at the same day of weighing, for example. So it was a little bit disturbing for Mises also because of England, you know. So, yeah, that's what it is. I don't think that was maybe the major problem, the visas. I think major problem is the economics federation.
Yes, the event was expensive, the hotels and all the
really costs of traveling. I think the cheapest hotel was like double room was 120 pounds, and that's more a little bit more than the euro. So yeah,
huge money.
Yeah.
Well, the event, the venue itself, the location is quite interesting, and for the ones watching it live, for the audience was fun, but for us as coaches, it was a little bit chaotic. Very small warm up areas. The entrance to the field was over an inclined indoor track. It was not exactly the nicest venue to have such a big event.
You know, we had the, yeah, you saw by yourself that small room we had there, and some people were training. They were not supposed to be there, but they were there. You know, they're training because they need to train for the next day, for the event and so on, for their competition day. Nowhere where they have this coffee shop, and I don't know, they have some para demonstration for the kids, and that's okay. I understand that they need some space to be, but for the main part of the competitors, they didn't have so much space to be on. And we were like, I don't know, 200 persons, 250 persons who was watching from the teams, and we were like pushed in, squeezed in to a small part of the place where you had really bad view. And
they even asked us not to come on the last 2 days because they were sold out.
I think they, I remember back when we were there last time, then they had like two wings for spectators. That's much better, because then the people who was playing could sit on one side and the audience on the other side. But now they did like you. They did in Bulgaria when we had this GP. I think you were there. They squeezed us in something small and yeah, totally horrible.
For us, those are the some of the bad sides. There were some good stuff. The transport was always on time. There was plenty of buses going back and forth to the hotels. The warm-up area was very well organized, very big, and with time slots for every team. Sometimes all the teams at the same time was a little hard, but they managed to do it quite okay. There was always water for the players and the coaches. Manchester has some good things going on. They had very nice volunteers. But then, of course, those little small logistical stuff like getting a bigger warm-up area would be interesting, or even more places for us to sit. What about you, Peter? You were watching it online. How did it look from...
Yes, it's always a very different world when you watch it online. So for me, as a spectator via the live streams, it was quite okay. Just the different lighting was a little bit funny because there were some courts quite dark. What I very much liked was the inserts they did. So they had inserts when someone punched, when someone kicked, the thumb jump. So that was, for the spectator, it was really okay. Let's say that.
A little bit confusing that labeling the oracles with the player's name where the red would come on top. We were used in Taekwondo that the blue comes first. So it was sometimes a little bit confusing.
Yes, and also one time I think the insert had the wrong person winning, but it's okay.
Yeah, or they still had the oracles from the last fight. That's technology. Sometimes it doesn't match up. For us in Manchester, it was nice that we were in hotel rooms and you can turn on the BBC and watch the live finals, or you could even connect to a wireless internet and use the iPlayer from BBC. But how do you manage to watch the finals? Did you watch them at all here in Austria?
I watched some of them, but not all of them. There is ways to get BBC as well, no problem. We know. Yeah, basically it was fine, good quality. Yeah, can't complain on that.
Moving a little on to what really happened, the matches. Peter, any big surprises on the medal distribution?
When you look at the medal distribution, well, one thing is obvious, as Russia is missing. They were the best in the last two Europeans, so they're missing at all in the moment. There was a little surprise that France got up quite far, that Spain did not go through till all the finals. So they only had, I don't know how many gold medals they have, but... not that good. From the big picture, I think, that's it. Russia clearly missing. We all missed them. That's clear. It's an opportunity for other countries.
What about you, Mario?
Like Peter said, I saw some new people who were jumping up. Bosnia had a really nice girl in 57. I was really surprised. And in a positive way, she was really, really good. Didn't do till the end, but she did quite good matches. And I was really surprised for her. And then this Serbian guy in 74 won. Really surprised guy. Dragan told me that I shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, when you haven't seen him on the field of place before so much, then you are surprised. Normally, when you see that he's fighting so good, this Danish guy in 80 also surprisingly good. So we had a lot of people who like flowered up in this competition. But then, as usual, there was a lot of people that I thought should win. They lost like in first, second game. And yeah, that is what it is, you know. This is maybe the beauty with this game, that you're not really super sure that you, just because you're number one in the world, that you will win. Jade lost, sadly, because I like Jade. She's a really good fighter. There's no discussion about Jade. Jade is really, really tremendous fighter. Matej Jelic, tremendous fighter. Yeah, you see all that. And she even didn't get a medal. So that was the disappointing, I think, most for her. And Bruna Vuletic from Croatia, same thing. Didn't get a medal, lost the second game. Also, with a girl who, yeah, that's newcomers. I mean, the Spanish girl who won 60-62, I didn't know she.
No, Jane is definitely not the favorite, or it wasn't one of the favorites. I think in 62, Marta Calvo was expected to be the favorite Spanish girl, and she was eliminated on the first match. Of course, when you look at 46, it's nice to see Lena Stankovic get this her title. But then in 49, you get Merve from Turkey. That was the surprise of the year. The results she had all year was very good, and Ruke was eliminated before.
With 49 Turkey, I was really on President Cup. My chin fell down when I saw her.
Yes,
she's so tremendous. I told everybody that everybody who had 49 girl, they would get beaten on the European soccer because she's a. I don't know. She's like Lauren was when Lauren became world championships in juniors in Canada. This Turkish girl is at number two, Lauren.
Like in 2016 when Lauren Williams did in Burnaby, the event, she was amazing. Merve, I had the unfortunate situation of having her on the first match in the President's Cup. So I know how hard it is. My player scored a good first round, but then the second round was over. Merve just put the foot on the pedal and it was what it was. She won on that event to Adriana, the Olympic silver medalist, by 19-point difference. She won later again in, I think, Sweden by 4 points difference. And this time on the golden round, but she still won and she was the champion. And again, the 53, we get Zelia Agris defending her title and goes all the way to the big surprises there. But 57 for sure. 57 was seeing Patricia Adamkiewicz winning against Jay John was very, very interesting.
Because it's not just, like I said, in 62, 67, there was, Bianca did her job. Bianca did what she was supposed to do. But like I said, it was, for me, it was, when I look at the medal standing, it was a little bit surprising, a couple of them.
Especially that Great Britain only got 2 golds.
Yeah, but you know, it's not just that you have to be a person who have arranged the competition. Yeah, that's one thing, but they have their ups and downs like everybody else. So I think anyway, England, Great Britain should be satisfied. That was good measures. Bradley did what he was supposed to do, and Bianca did also, and they are going to the Olympics. So for them, these points are really important. Even though they are one, so, you know, everything can happen.
And well, seeing Madison Moore out of the medals, seeing Lauren only with the bronze, seeing Jade only with the bronze, seeing Rebecca losing the way she did, it was a big surprise for them. As Peter said, also France being gathering the position up there since they are the hosts of the next Olympics. Overall, it seems that the next World Championships and next year there's again World Championships. They're going to be quite interesting with a lot of competition from countries and from players that we were not expecting. But this was the last big event with the old set of rules. And what do you think about the decision from ETU to run this event with those rules, Mario?
I think that's good that we did the old rules. But now, when I tried the new rules with Leon in Spain, he liked that new rules, a couple of them. So I have to be honest. He liked that the fact that you can win the round. He didn't like the referees because the referees was poor in Spain. They can say that they weren't educated or whatever, but in the end of the day, it's just taekwondo. You know, it's not. You can change 3 rules, and this is like we are driving and we are changing maybe something with the car small. It's not that you can't drive. You're still gonna know how to drive. So this is a thing. So I think it was good. And I think they should have implemented not the whole concept now in the Grand Prix. I think they should have maybe started to just test it a little bit more before they're doing it. But from my point of view, I think something can be good of that. Not everything, but the round system is more or less the same. Because if you're fighting on the old system, the guy who will win, he will take mostly points in each round. That's, I think. And this is also that somebody have to win a round. That's also a good thing. Why should I now go split decision on two or three rounds? Because it could be split. I've seen a lot of matches 0-0 in three rounds.
Yeah, between Spain and the Grand Prix, you will see that the clinch will be very different. Now you're not allowed to push without kick, and you're not allowed to push so long. So some things will change. One of the things that I understand about looking at the Pan American Championships and looking at the Canadian qualification tournament where you use the updated new rules, the events will be a little more dynamic on the first rounds, but on the other hand, they will be a little slower due to the video replays. And that's something that we can talk about a little bit over after the break. This podcast is supported by Hocken Dynamics. Hocken Dynamics believes that technology is most useful when it stays out of your way. That's why Hocken developed the world's first wireless force plate system with extreme usability. It is the quickest, easiest to use, and most robust solution on the market. It is trusted by all sports organizations, large and small, as well as tactical, military, and rehabilitation environments around the globe. It's force testing in the palm of your hand. Here at Vintekundo Center, we use Hocken Dynamics to test and monitor our team. The cloud-based platform allows us to access data and publish a variety of reports on the go. My favorites are trend reports and, of course, weight reports, where I can monitor different metrics to view progress and identify performance indicators, or to compare weights to a baseline data range. I use it on a daily basis to identify readiness. A simple jumping test takes me less than a minute to assess the entire team. Having my own Hocken Dynamics force plates allows me to test reactive strengths, maximum strengths, rate of force development, asymmetry, and so much more. The real-time feedback on the app is useful not only for testing, but as a training tool, making it more accurate and at the same time more engaging for the athletes. If you are interested in learning more about Hocken Dynamics or getting your own, the team can be reached at info@hockendynamics.com or on Instagram or Twitter at Hocken Dynamics.
This podcast is sponsored by First Beat Sports. First Beat Sports combines the most comprehensive analytics in team sports with a customizable interface to support real-time monitoring, recovery monitoring, performance management, and much more. The result? Data-driven decisions that support your athletes and team training, recovery, and performance goals. First Beat Sports is trusted by professionals. Over 23,000 athletes representing over 1,000 teams around the world rely on the solution to train and plan with confidence on a team and individual level using HRV-based insights. For more information, please visit our website, firstbeat.com/sports.
When talking about Taekwondo training, we need to talk about Athlete Analyzer. Athlete Analyzer is the first Taekwondo-specific athlete monitoring system. It is used by both national teams, regional squads, and small clubs to maximize performance, prevent injuries, and communicate with both athletes and trainer teams. Athlete Analyzer is a cloud-based system with a friendly smartphone app. You can plan and monitor every aspect of your training, even when you are not in the gym with your team. The easy-to-use video analysis tool is not like anything you've seen. It helps you understand your athletes and even their opponents, making this app the only tool you need to manage your team. Before I used Athlete Analyzer, I spent an absurd amount of time in front of the computer, creating spreadsheets and using half a dozen software solutions. I have athletes in my center, but also abroad, and with Athlete Analyzer, it's much easier to communicate, plan, and monitor their development. Now that I have extra time, I can focus on what matters, training my athletes, and it still leaves me some room to do other stuff, like this Taekwondo podcast. Athlete Analyzer offers you a 2 weeks free trial. Visit them at athleteanalyzer.com to sign up, or click on the link in the episode's description. To get the most of your free trial, I recommend you first book a free personal demonstration with Nicholas. It will give you a great insight of what Athlete Analyzer has to offer you and your team. It is well worth the time.
You're listening to the Taekwondo Podcast. Now back to your hosts, Coach Cesar Valentim and Peter Nessler.
So welcome back. We've been here with Mario Glasnovic and Peter Nessler talking about the European Championships. One of the things that I noticed it was that the equipment wasn't up to the challenge again, and especially the headgear failed to register many of good scoring techniques. With the new rules, the matches would be much longer with all the coaches asking for video replay cards for that. I'm happy in one way that it was not delaying the matches so much. In the other hand, and as it was very sad to see that many head kicks didn't score, and they decided some of the matches it would be totally different medal winners if the head scores would be working. Mario, do you agree that the ability to request IVR for these kicks, or should the rules be adapted to speed up the matches?
I think we have so good technology overall that I can't understand why they can't find a way to the sensors to feel the face kick, because that's the first part. Second part, I think we should increase the power on the headgear, because today it's like not ballet, but you just touch. That's not martial arts. That's not taekwondo. You should have more impact on the helmet. You know, back in the days when we didn't have electronics, if you kicked light, referee didn't look at you. You had to really do a good impact. And if you want to, now we have, I think, 5 for the helmet, yes?
Yes, it's just to accuse the touch.
And I think we should have at least 9 or 10. You should have a good impact. Then you would also get rid of all these stupid kicks that they are floundering with. I think that these kicks would disappear. But then you have the failures with the headgear also. Like now I looked both yesterday, the day before yesterday, people were kicking the helmets off and they were not reacting.
To be fair, sometimes they were not kicking with the foot.
No. Okay. I know. I understand they're okay with the shin or whatever. But for me, it has always been this discussion about how come that we, like a community, didn't go to companies and give them like a paper and told them this is what we want with our electronics. We got a paper and they told us, do taekwondo like this.
Yeah, correct.
And this is, for me, sad, because we have so many people with so much knowledge, I think also in electronics, in the taekwondo world, that we could have easily done 2 A4s with paper and just wrote down and said, this is what we want for our electronic helmet or vest.
And what about the punches?
First day, you saw it by yourself, the finals. The first final of the first day, I think it was 10 punches from one competitor, 10 points each time she touched. Not okay. Punch. You had a discussion, I think, two episodes ago about maybe taking them away or
yes.
The punch. Could be a good solution. I just say could be a good solution, because then we are getting rid of one problem. Or like KPMP said back in Bernabeu on the juniors, they wanted to put a plate, special plate on a special part of the chest with the special sensor in the glove. And that sensor could just, when it hit that target, points scored with the pressure normally. So that's also, I think, but then somebody says, yeah, but then we're going to get the boxing match like we did, got the first and second day of the finals. So I'm a little bit, maybe take it away. I don't know. I'm really confused there.
So the competition formats especially in the G2 events, they have a huge number of participants. You see the federations being, and the event organizers being a little bit greedy, don't putting a cap on registrations or saying, okay, we're only taking 400 people, and in the end they take 1,000 people. You go there for long days of waiting for one match. Do you think we should change our formats? Even that Europeans look at other combat sports where they have a group phase and then they have a elimination phase?
You know, it's very hard for me to say that because I have, like, you know, last 40-something years I've done the same format, you know. So it's a little bit hard. And sometimes I'm really mad when they are doing the semifinals and finals the second day, because in the end of the day, it's like I said, it's a combat sport. You can, I know back in Korea 2011, the Canadian 62 girl, she got punched on the hand. The hand was swelled up, or the arm. She could fight and win all the tournament then, but when she went home, the arm swelled up, and they didn't allow her to compete the next day. So she lost. So they also have a problem, you know. So I think this format we have, it's okay with the everything on the same day. But like I said, it's depending how you are as a competitor, how you... Now we don't get so much injuries also in taekwondo because it's so much lighter. So maybe it's okay to have it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the injuries... they don't happen so much because you don't have so much performance difference between the players. You used to have very good players, and you'd have countries that would go to these events and have no experience. And of course, when you have a very good player with a very inexperienced player, the injuries will happen. And if you see the beginner tournaments, the color belt tournaments, that's where the biggest injuries happen, because they're not fit, or they're not clean when they kick, or there is too much difference in performance and they get injured. And I think taekwondo developing to a point that each country is a podium contestant, it minimizes the risk of injuries. You have better players, you have fitter players, and they don't hurt themselves so much. What about you, Peter? What do you think?
Just about the injuries, I agree with you, Caesar. It's the standardization we have is very common now, so the level is not that, there is not such a big gap in the level. But it's also the rules that brought us to a lighter taekwondo, which was intended by joining the Olympics. That is a clear trend. And many people are criticizing, but it is the case. And when we want to stay in the Olympics, it has to be like that. The other thing is at the events. What was the question again?
Basically, you go to a G tournament, and there is all these 1,000 people competing. You spend a plane ticket, a hotel, entry fees. You go there, do one match, and go home. And sometimes it's a little unfair for the beginners to spend so much money for just one fight.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with Mario that from the viewpoint of the athletes and the coaches and the teams, all those participating, it's better to have it like now. So have everything on the same day, just differing the weight classes maybe on different days. That's okay. But for the spectators and for the development of taekwondo, for sponsors and whatever, it would be better to create a big event, which is only the finals, to have a group phase, whatever. You have to look at other sports like karate and whatever. So they do it like that, and the audience is big then. So you cannot sell an event like it is now with 10 hours of competing. That's clear. To the audience, to TV stations, to whatever. So that should be taken into account. So it's two different sides. It's the active ones. That's clear. They want to have in one package. It's easier. It's cheaper. It's easier. And so, and on the other end, you could have the real elite events. In a moment, they're doing it. WT is doing it with Grand Prix, with those things. But it could be different. It could also be for the worlds or for the continental championships.
Yeah, they're talking about having leagues, so having some a pool of players competing in some events and elite players competing in other events and trying not to mix them. That's even more advanced system. I think there's a lot of... It deserves its own episode. Moving on to the upcoming competitions. Mario, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I think this year was going to be special because we had so many G2. Every tournament was G2. Mm. Next year, it's back to normal again. So we're going to have G1s just, and then just two G2s per continent. So it's going back to normal. But what I just want to flick in or put in here that we shouldn't maybe, like you said before, Cesar, we have too many novices or the new guys who's coming, and they don't think why do I go to a G2 event? Because maybe they shouldn't go to a G2 event. Maybe they should wait a little bit, go to smaller tournaments, who's not G tournaments. But a lot of people, they think, no, I want to go there to try that best one there. But usually fails, and then they lose the first match. They should be aware of that they easily can lose the first match.
About the next events, some of the things that we'll have to worry, it's the upcoming World Championships. We know they're going to be in Mexico. We don't know in which city. There have been talks that maybe Guadalajara will be the new host, but we don't even have a date. We have Grand Prix again in Manchester in end of October. Do you worry about these things, Mario?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. Yes, I know that Italy will be a perfect event because the Italians are doing the two last they have done. They were like perfect. The arena is so super nice. I like that arena because it's really, really good for Taekwondo, that arena, number one. Number two, that we know exactly, we have that problem with the new rules, but except the rules, both Manchester, I think Paris will also be good. Manchester will be good, but then we have the final. We don't know if it's going to be in China because we know that Shanghai is locked down. And they want to have it in Wuxi. We have to fly out to Shanghai. That's what it is. So we have a problem there. And I know that the Chinese people are forcing WT to do the competition there, but I don't know how it's going to end. And then we have the second problem, and that's they want to give one extra space to one Olympian from the Grand Slam. But what happened when we can't have the Grand Slam, or nobody wants to go there, or blah blah something. Will be a Chinese that then we have a paid the sixth place.
Yes.
Or they take it away. I don't know.
In China, they canceled the World University Games, the University World Games, because of COVID, and it would be in August, obviously, or July, June, whatever, the summer. And in the summer, it's much easier for to organize events regarding COVID protocols. But then in November or October, having the Grand Prix final already in the peak of the flu and COVID seasons, very dangerous.
I think so too. But we'll see what happens.
And they also have this new Mujo Open Grand Prix challenge.
I can't understand why they are doing that, because then you take away a place, because what I understand of all this thing, that it should be 32 players. But then you take the 32 spot of a guy who has paid a lot of money to go to competitions, to get points, then he's refused to go there.
It is. They give two spots for the players that compete at the Mujo Open Grand Prix Challenge. The event is only open for players ranked below 70 in the Olympic ranking. So you get the players that are on the 60 or 65, 68. They are too low to go to the Grand Prix, and they are too high to go to the Open Grand Prix Challenge.
Really, really strange way of thinking. But what do you think, Peter? Is it so strange?
It excludes the ones that are proceeding maybe higher, as you said. You're not allowed to do that one. You cannot do the other one. So that's a little weird thinking. I would have raised the level from the cut. But I don't know what the intention was with it.
Well, let's put it this way. You can take four players per weight division, and the host country, Korea, can have five. And the event is going to be in Muju in June, with all the expenses of traveling to Korea, especially when you get the outline just a month before the event. So, you know, the flight tickets will be terribly expensive. Going there to compete against 150 Koreans.
But anyway, you know what? That's they're going to get, what, 31, 32 spots? Or
yes, they get the 31 and 32. Actually, the 29 and, sorry, the 30 and 31, because the 32 goes to the host country.
Yeah, so 30 and 31. Okay, they will meet top four players in the second match, I think, or something. So it's not, okay, give people a chance, yes. But somewhere I think they should have let the people who is really in top 70 gave them a chance or told them that just the people from top 50 to top 70 can be there on this competition.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't know. Just something like that.
I think that the fact that tournament is just a G1, it will discourage a lot of people to go.
Yeah. Nobody will go there because this, like you said, it's G1. Super expensive to go there. The hotel in Mujo is super expensive for what you get. You have been in Mujo, so you know that it's like a ski resort. I don't know what it is. All ski resort. So, and you have nothing to do there. That's the biggest problem. When you come there, you are like in a cuckoo. You can do anything. So it's, I don't know what to think about that, but for me, the worst problem is that we don't know where the final is going to be. That's really, and you know, now we have like not even 2 years left to compete for points. We have just 1.5 year left. So it's not so much to it's much, but it's, the time is running away. And
It's cost intensive and tight.
Yeah. A lot of countries, like I said to you, they don't have much more money. And if you're just doing the pen and paper calculation till December 2023, a lot of money spent there.
Well, I guess we have enough topics to go for another episode, Mario. I think we'll invite you again. We even haven't talked about the new goal systems and all these things. So a lot to talk about. Let's have you over again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure being here with you again and with everyone who is listening. This was the Taekwondo Podcast. If you haven't already, listen to our other episodes that are available wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are releasing new episodes every Tuesday. Stay tuned, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a positive review, and share it with your friends. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Taekwondo Podcast, keeping the fans, coaches, and high-performance athletes up to date with the latest news and trends on Olympic Taekwondo. Your host, Coach Cesar Valentim, has almost 20 years of experience with high-performance Taekwondo and has worked all around the world as a Taekwondo trainer. Peter Nessler has been teaching Taekwondo for more than 20 years, and he's currently one of the top referees in Europe. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at Taekwondo Podcast, on Facebook at Taekwondo Cast, and the website taekwondopodcast.com. See you next time.